Our Old Testament lesson comes to us from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We read the gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether we consciously know it or not, most of us Americans, due to our educations being controlled by Dewey, tend to be materialists and utilitarians. I won't impugn you with strictness of those, but softer forms. We like things that we can test with our five senses. And if it can't really be tested with our five senses, then we become very skeptical. By utilitarian, I also mean that softer form, what works preferably simply. We tend not to like complexity or subtlety. We're the Joe Fridays of the world, just the facts. Of course, that's part of our current political troubles. We might think that I have the facts and you have misguided opinions, or I have the news and you have fake news. But what we're really hitting is the limits of our simple philosophy. I start out there because this year we're going to be reading from the Gospel according to John a little bit more. We often approach the Gospels as if they're pure history documents or modern biographies. And there's a sense that that is okay, but not in the simple way that we'd like it. They're ancient history or biographies. And their point is not simply to record events, just the facts, or to assert a cause and effect chain, like because Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated, we all fell into World War I. Those kinds of things are modern obsessions. Ancient biographies are more about virtues and vices, the character of a significant person and how it manifested itself. Ancient histories were about how those character traits created destinies. And the purpose of writing about them was to encourage the adoption of them or to turn away from those character traits in our own time. The Gospels are a mix of what we would call history and what we would call theology, just like any non-modern text. And the content of that mixture depends upon the writer. Luke, which we spent most of last year reading from, is the most like our history. But John is at the other end. You can't just read John for the bare facts. He means it to be pondered. And so, in our text today, John gives us two scenes. The first is the Baptist's relationship to Jesus. The Baptist is given to us as a prophet. God speaks to him and through him. The one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And the Baptist's purpose was to proclaim this, to make it known. For this purpose, I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John is a prophet. And not just a prophet, but a successful. I have seen and I have borne witness that this one is the Son of God. In the second scene, what is presented is the response to that proclamation. The Baptist repeats his teaching Behold, the Lamb of God. And a couple of his disciples start to catch on. In the arrangement of days with the Baptist, it's actually the third day. The first day, he says, he's here. And presumably, he baptizes Jesus. But John doesn't actually record that fact. The second day, John recaps his purpose, and then here on the third day, John gets a little impatient. Don't worry about me, that one, he's the Lamb. And on that third day, two disciples actually hear him and follow Jesus. Of course, what I would like is to have a record of facts. What did they see during that day following Jesus? How did they follow Jesus? How long did they do it before he turned and talked to them? We don't really know. But at some point during that day, Jesus turns to them and says, "What are you seeking?" And at this point, all they're seeking is a place to bunk for the night. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus invites them to his home. "Come and see." Whatever that they saw that day or that evening in Jesus' home, it must have been impressive. Because the next day, one of those two disciples, Andrew, gets up and runs to his brother, Simon Peter, and says, "We've found the Messiah. The rabbi, that teacher, is gone. And in his place is the Christ." In the two scenes, we have a progression from a proclamation to an epiphany to a proclamation. What are you seeking? It's a heavy question full of import, because we're all seeking something. We could be seeking the wrong thing. We could be seeking the right thing, but in the wrong place. Maybe we don't think we're seeking anything at all. Maybe we're just in the negation of seeking, which is, of course, nirvana. Fortunately, we have a prophet. And the prophet tells us both what to seek and where to find it. The where is easy. He points at Jesus. The what is critical. The Baptist tells us that this is the Son of God. What does John mean by this? "After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." We could ask the question, how does one born afterwards to much lower parentage come before a great prophet? We're not dealing with a normal birth. But as the evangelist's prologue would tell us at Christmas, he was in the beginning with God. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. The eternal Son of God, the light from light, was in the world. But how he appeared was not as expected. How did he appear? "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." The first Lamb of God substituted for Isaac. When Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, and Abraham was going to do it. When he had that knife at the top, God yells, "Stop. I'll provide the lamb." And that day, he provided a physical lamb. But now, the lamb is his only son. The Son of the Almighty, the Lord of hosts, appears as the lamb, the one who demanded the sacrifice, becomes the offer. What are you seeking? If you're seeking glory or dominion or wisdom or riches or strength, everything we normally ascribe to an expected king, here in the flesh, we won't find that. The call is to come and see, is the call to see the cross. What we see is not the power, but the humility, the Lamb of God. If we're seeking the world and what it offers, we can go back to it. If we're seeking wisdom or self-enlightenment, Jesus is a rabbi, but he's more than just a rabbi. If we're seeking a spiritual power, what we receive is the incarnate one. When we demand the signs, we only get the sign of Jonah. But if we're seeking the Lamb, if we've stood under John's waters of repentance, here is the one who baptizes not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. What are you seeking? Self-righteousness or righteousness? As Jesus would say later to the Baptist, "Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me." If one has come and seen the cross and not turned away, but one has become convinced that this is the Christ, what do we do? Exactly as Andrew does. Andrew, who has noticed, now received the name, something else to ponder, where do we receive our names? But exactly what Andrew does is imitate Jesus. He'll go to his brother and say, "Come and see." And we all are the current links in that discipleship family. John invites us to hear who Jesus is from the prophetic word and to meditate on what we are seeking. And there's a paradoxical part of that pondering, that Jesus invites us to come and see, but he does so knowing that what we will see is the cross. What we see in that cross is dependent upon what we have heard and what we have believed or what we have not believed. Because now we walk and we see by faith. Which brings us back to Jesus' question, what are you seeking? Ultimately, we seek the place where Christ is. Where are you staying? And not just as a bunk for the night. Our hope is not in Jerusalem, but in the New Jerusalem. We seek not the kingdoms of the world, but a kingdom of the world to come. Whether it's 10 a.m. or 4 p.m. or later, that new Jerusalem is the city on the hill that we walk towards. That's the destination of our faith. And that is the city that Christ bids us to come and see. Amen.